I appreciate your prayers. John chapter 3, verse number 16. You know this verse. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And if we stop there, we could shout to victory. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you know what? You need to understand today that God so loved you that he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. My son Tim and I have talked about that verse a lot. He only has one son, Eli. He's our only grandson in our family right now. And he looked at me and he said, "You know, God, Dad, God has done a work in Pilot Mountain, North Carolina." And I said, "Yeah, he sure has." He said, "You know," he said, "I love these people with all my heart, but," he said, "I don't know that I love them enough to give that boy." But God loved you enough to give his son to die for you. And if you don't know that today, this is what this conference is all about. It's not where the message is going to end, but it's what this conference is all about. Is there is 7.2 billion people in this world today. Most of them, I would safely say 90% of them, not on their way to heaven. Hey, folks, the sad thing is, probably countless millions of them have never heard one time that Jesus Christ was sent into this world to die for them, that God loved them that much to send Jesus Christ into the world to die for them. And so that's what this conference is all about. But we'd be amiss to have such a meeting and not explain to you that if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you can come today and be saved and be given the greatest gift anybody could ever give you. That's eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. You say, you get excited about that. Yes, I'm excited about that because I know what it did for me. Amen. Now watch this. I'm trying not to get sidetracked, but that's all right. I'm going to. Amen. In the very next verse, now watch this. He said in verse 17 of John chapter 3, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." You're already under condemnation. Amen. The sin that we have, the sin nature we have, has already condemned us. So God did not have to send his Son into the world to condemn the world. But what did he say? He said, "But that the world through him might be saved." God doesn't want just people in Cleveland, Ohio, and North Ridgeville, Ohio to be saved. He wants the world to be saved. Now take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. So God has a plan how to accomplish this. Romans chapter number 10. He further reiterates the predicament that we're in. Romans chapter number 10. He says in, you know the verses. You've been in church at all. He says in verse number 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Folks, being saved is not a hard thing to do. You just got to know how to do it. And there's countless millions that just don't know. It's not that they don't want to. It's that they don't know. They're seeking for it. Hey, listen, I remember riding down the road in Mexico and coming around the corner and here's this little building, maybe 8-10 feet wide, 8-10 feet deep, and you open that building and there in that little building is this statue of the Virgin Mary and there's this altar full of candles, half of them already lit and all of it is overlaid with gold and people have come in there and lit a candle and said a prayer trying to find peace and trying to understand how to go to heaven when they die. You drive down the road a mile later and there's a pile of rocks alongside of the road and there's blood and chicken feathers all over that pile of rocks where the same people left that building and walked down the road and took a chicken and did a blood sacrifice. Why? They're trying to figure out how to have eternal life. But it's simple. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's simple. But what's he say a little in this passage of Scripture? In verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's the whole realm of missions. Hey, listen, you say, if you were here in Sunday school, you saw the great need in Amsterdam and in the Netherlands. You say, well, how, those people need the Lord Jesus Christ. How shall they believe on Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. Amen? So what's the job? Our job is to get the preacher there. Amen? Hey, listen, you were here the other night and you heard about the Philippines. And you say, man, what is going on in the Philippines? There's tremendous things going on in the Philippines, but there's almost 100 million people in the country of the Philippines. I believe there's still some more that have never heard, amen? And how should they hear without the preacher? Brother Teresio has been here all week and talked about Australia and talked about the need in Australia. And Brother Pittman was here talking about the need in Sweden. And Brother Rudolph's going down to Lima, Ohio to start a church. He said, preacher, what is all this? It is showing us and trying to get us to see the need of this world. And how shall they know? How shall they hear? How shall, can they understand this thing of salvation that's so wondrous and so glorious and so great? Aren't you glad you're saved today? Amen. I'd make a Presbyterian shout. Amen. Let alone a dead Baptist. Amen. Hey, listen, folks. That's what is... Now you see the predicament that's here? God said, I love this world so much, I gave my Son. And I sent my Son not to condemn this world, that the world through Him might be saved. And they need to be saved, and the only thing they need to be saved is for somebody to come tell them. You know what? Your neighbor needs to be saved, and all he needs to know to be saved is for you to come tell him. Amen? Amen. Can I run one side trail? Don't be a hypocritical Christian and put $20 in an offering plate to send somebody to the other side of the world to do what you won't do here. Amen? You say, well, that's what I'm told to do. You're told, go to Acts 1:8. I'm going to tie it all together. This is just the introduction, so hang on, amen? Smile at me. Some of you get that hard figure. And so God said, okay, let me tell you how this thing works. Acts 1:8. You say, these are all familiar verses. I know, but watch this. Acts 1:8. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. If you're saved today, the Bible says, according to the book of Ephesians, that the moment you got saved, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen? If you're really saved, you got it. Amen? You have the Holy Ghost, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So you're not waiting around for some unusual, some lightning bolt experience. The only lightning bolt experience you need in your life is to bow on your knees and receive Jesus Christ in your life. And in that moment, He empowered you. He didn't just seal you and give you the guarantee of your salvation. He filled you with the Holy Spirit and gave you a go of responsibility. I'm glad my salvation's guaranteed, but I was empowered that day to go do something for Jesus Christ. Now that I don't have to worry about going to hell, amen? I got another job to do in life. Now, how do I accomplish that? How do I reach people in Jerusalem? Well, you get a handful of tracts and a handful of John and Romans. You start down the street, amen? So you reach your Jerusalem. You go to Judea. Somebody needs to go to Pennsylvania, amen? Michigan. I walked down the street yesterday, saw a paradox in my life. A Michigan state flag hanging on a tree in Avon Lake, Ohio. I wanted that guy to answer the door so bad because I was going to say to him, you got to be the bravest man I know, amen? How do you accomplish that? Well, come to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Now let's tie it all together and preach for a few minutes, amen? So God has a plan. God has a plan. And His plan is very simple. You see the predicament. The world needs the gospel. You see that God has given us responsibility. Now He has a plan. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, He says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. God has a plan. He raised up Grace Baptist Church in Northridge, Ohio, Because he has a plan. Amen? I told you the other night, God has chosen the church. Because you are the church. Amen? This is beautiful and nice as this building is, and things you want to do with this building is not the church. I ran the vacuum in this auditorium yesterday. There was no spirit in this auditorium yesterday afternoon. Just a bunch of dust and dirt. Amen? But all of a sudden you showed up, and the church assembles, and the church gathers together, and the whole building fitly framed together becomes a habitation for God, the book of Ephesians says. And all of a sudden God assembles his church and says, now, and there was in the church at North Ridgeville, Ohio. Amen? He said, may do you dwell in the grace of God bestowed on the church of North Ridgeville, Ohio. He has a plan. And so now he says, okay, let me tell you about this. How then a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreating that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So God said, I got a plan. I'm going to go down to a place called North Ridgeville, Ohio. I'm going to start calling out some saved people that love God. And I'm going to assemble them all together. And we're going to call it Grace Baptist Church. And that's what God sent the pastor here for. Amen. And now, because of this church being assembled, now I'm going to accomplish what I've set you out to do. Can I say this to you? You can't accomplish it by yourself.
That's right.
You need some things to accomplish this. Number one, you need the church. Amen?
Amen.
You need the church.
Amen.
See, you say, I'm going to do it without the church. Wrong. Amen? You got to have the church because God puts His grace, His blessing, His empowerment on this church, amen. So God, you gotta have the church, and then you gotta be doing something. Cause see, through this church, you can go on the blitz on Thursday night. You can go out once a year and blitz a neighborhood and pass out 3,500 John and Romans. You can go on visitation and tell people about Jesus Christ. You can invite your friends to come to church. You can be a witness and testimony, and you can reach your Jerusalem and your Judea through this church. Amen?
Amen?
But then to do the rest of it, you know what you got to have? You got to have a missionary. See, God has a plan. Because you get to Acts chapter 13, where did he call the first missionary from? The church. Amen? So you got to have a church to get fed at, to be encouraged with, to be challenged with, but more than that, hey, can I make one statement? I'm tired of people coming to church to see what they can get instead of what they can give. Amen? Church is not just for you to have a handout. Church is for you to give a hand.
Amen?
It gives you the vehicle. It gives you the place for you to accomplish what God saved you accomplish. Amen. You have a place to serve God. You have a place to come to. You have a place to invite people to. You can reach your Jerusalem, your Judea. Then you can do this thing called Faith Promise Missions, and you can give to missions and send missionaries to the Philippines and send missionaries to the Netherlands and send people to Australia and send people to King Africa and send people to the Ivory Coast and send people all over this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ through this church. Amen? And now you accomplish what God wanted you to accomplish when He saved you. You accomplish it by going here, amen, and giving there. Amen? That's what I love about God. God is so good, but He's so simple. Even a West Virginian can understand that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, that was the introduction to everything. So when you get involved in God's plan, and I know Americans, amen? Well, what's in it for me, preacher? Well, go to chapter 9, and let's find out what's in it for me. He says in chapter 9, verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a dead, dried up, grouchy, irritable, independent Baptist giver. No, God loves a cheerful giver. So what is this faith promise card the preacher gave you? That's you purposing in your heart what you're going to give. Amen? Okay, now, so you say, I'm going to get involved in faith promise. What does it do for me? All right, now watch, what does faith promise do? Now watch these next verses. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. This is what faith promise does. He has dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. Write this down. His righteousness remaineth forever. You can establish something that will last not just this world, but for eternity. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Go to 1 Thessalonians. Take your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. Look what he says in 1 Thessalonians. Paul is, he's writing to the church at Thessalonica where he had went and gave him the gospel and told him about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And he says, y'all pray for me. I'm trying to get used to this new Bible. Everything in the old one was in the right place. It's his chapter. It is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So watch this. So Paul's writing to these people who he met on his second missionary journey. And he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 18, wherefore we would have some, we have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not ye even in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and our joy. Here's these people, Paul said, after he'd been sent out in Acts chapter 13, made the first missionary journey through 14, came back at the end of 15, goes out in chapter 16, has the Macedonian vision, hears the Macedonian call, goes over into Macedonia, preaches the gospel. He preaches at Corinth and Philippi and all those places and Thessalonica, and the church in Thessalonica is saved. Now he's went back. He's made the third missionary journey. He's almost to the end of his life. He's writing back to them, and he said, let me tell you what my crown of rejoicing is. It's you in the presence of the Lord at his coming. Hey, folks, listen. We've got something that's eternal today. Amen. Hey, Jesus said in the book of John, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Amen. You're not taking that 401k. You're not taking that retirement. You're not taking that house and a new Cadillac or anything else when you die. Amen. I'll tell you what you can take with you. You can take a lost person that got saved and they come to Jesus Christ. And when you get to heaven, when all this junk in the world's been burned up in the fire and the world's been destroyed and Jesus Christ establishes the new heaven and the new earth, then guess what's going to still be there with you? The souls of men and women. Something that remains forever. Huh? He said, but preacher, I'm investing wisely. Go ahead. 9 years ago, you could have the people lined up out to the street of the people that invested wisely. And then the economy tanked and the stock market went nuts. And I could walk you out and show you 10 men that lost everything they had, including their retirement. And what do they have to show for their life? But when I get to heaven and you know what faith promise giving does? See? Now watch this. Here's what faith promise giving does. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. His righteousness remaineth forever. Hey, if you want somebody to the Lord in your life, have you talked to anybody about Jesus Christ in your life? Someone say amen. I don't know about you, but I would dread to think the thought that Jesus Christ would die for me, give me my salvation, give me eternal home in heaven, pay the burden for my sin, pay the price for my sin, bless me for being saved, and then I'd die and leave this world and not have one soul to show for what Jesus did for me. Amen. Must I go in empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet Him. Must I empty-handed go? Other than this scripture right here, the only thing you're going to have in heaven with you that's on this earth is the souls of men and women. Quiet. And what did he say? What did he call that? He said, His righteousness remaineth forever. Not how long your skirt was. I'm all for women dressing right. Not how high and tight your hair was, fellas. Not how many things you didn't do. That's not the righteousness that remains forever. The righteousness that remains forever is the souls. What does faith promise do for me? It lets me go in, not empty-handed. Because what happens when I give the faith promise, it's not just the souls that I have an opportunity to reach in my life here, in my Jerusalem, in my Judea. Now I can reach souls in Amsterdam, and I can reach souls in the Philippines. And I tell you, when Brother Pittman was here the other night, I about had myself a shouting fit. I went home and called my pastor. I said, thank God, preacher. We've been supporting that man ever since he's been on the road in mission work. Thank God my faith promise has went into that. And what I saw when those men walked forward there that day, the other night, and gave their testimony being saved, I saw my fruit that remains in Ireland. Hello? And when I get to heaven, I'm not going in empty-handed. What do you got? Man, last week there was Brother Mack, another one of our missionaries we support in Ivory Coast. We supported Brother Mickey for years, and I'm thinking, Mack, hey, if you were involved in faith promise in this church, you ought to be shouting a victory today. Amen. If you're not giving a faith promise and not going soul winning here, you ought to be under conviction. Because you're going empty-handed. The souls of men. But now watch what God does on top of that. He said then, I love this. Verse 10, now he that ministers seed to the sower, watch this, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. What a verse. When I get involved in faith promise, I get that righteousness remains forever. And at the end of verse number 9, he said, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He said, I want to be a fruitful Christian. Give. Amen? And your fruits will increase. But now watch this. It's not just the souls, but notice what he says right in the middle of verse 10. He said, both minister bread for your food. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen? You ever read this Bible and never get anything? You ever heard him say to your preacher, well, that's hard to understand. I read it and didn't get anything out of it. The problem's not God, and the problem's not this Bible. The problem's you, because you're not giving. And when you learn to give, he's going to go, okay, son, let me give you some bread. Let me feed your soul. I like it when God feeds me. You know what I like it? I like it when my wife comes in and says, hey, honey, look what I got this morning. And God reached in the oven of heaven. Nothing in the world like fresh bread. Amen. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. Amen. And I grew up on a farm. Amen. Bread never came in a plastic wrapper. Never came. Biscuits never came in a can that went whop on the side of a cow. Grandma had big 25-pound bag of flour, and she had, we had homemade lard. We never made biscuits with get or bread with Crisco. Amen? And the milk was in the cow 2 days ago. And Grandma would make them big old loaves of homemade bread. You didn't have an alarm clock at Grandma's house. You got woke up in the morning by the smell of bacon and ham and eggs and fried potatoes and homemade bread. And you take that bread and the butter didn't say every blue bonnet on it or I can't believe it's butter. You better believe it was butter. Amen. Because I was there when we were going like this. Making it butter, amen. And Grandma, we'd went and picked strawberries, and we'd pick blackberries, and we'd pick grapes. And Grandma had homemade jelly. It never said Smuckers on the outside of it. And that bread is steaming. Amen. And you put that butter on it, starts to melt, run off the edge. And then you smear some of that jelly on there. Amen. Woo! Man. Did you ever just get one of those reading your Bible? That fresh slice of bread from heaven. God says, here, let me give you something. He said, you give. You start doing what you're supposed to with faith promise. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to minister bread for your food. You need more than physical bread. Amen. He said, well, God said He'd supply all my need. Yes, He will. Amen. He will supply your need. But I'm going to tell you what He's going to do more than that. He's going to reach down and feed your soul and give you something that'll get you up in the morning and get you out for the day. Make you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this giving to missions is more than just giving money and a responsibility. It's letting God do in my life what God wants to do. He wants to sustain me through His Word. I'll never forget this, and I'll finish up. My son, Shrinner, youngest one, Shrinner, to preach when he's 9 years old. And some people laughed at him and said, God don't call 9-year-old boys to preach. But he came out a couple of weeks after Shrinner to preach, and he said, Dad, I got a question to ask you. I said, okay. He said, I was reading this. He showed me this verse. He said, that verse says there's no sin in heaven. Talked about nothing winter there that'll corrupt it and all that. I said, yeah. He said, I was reading something the other day. It said, the reason you leave fingerprints on stuff is because of the oil and stuff that's in your body. And that's what leaves fingerprints on stuff. And the reason the fingerprints are recognizable is because of the dirt and dust that's on everything. So he said, if there's no sin, then there's no dirt, no dust in heaven. And we don't have this flesh like we have now with all its problems. So he said, we won't leave a fingerprint on anything in heaven. And I said, okay, you know, I'm like, this mind is going to act. He said, you know what I thought about that? He said, because you leave fingerprints on things here because you identify it that it's yours. He said, the reason we're not going to leave any fingerprints on anything in heaven because it all belongs to God. And I sat down and I thought, now God, how did a 9-year-old boy figure that out? God just ministered bread. You ever go out on Sunday morning and say, well, where did the preacher get that? God reached up and said, here, Pastor, your church needs that, so let me feed you. Now you can feed them. Did you ever hear somebody say this, and I'm about done? Don't ever eat anything that the cook wouldn't taste. God's not going to feed you anything that the pastor doesn't taste, doesn't understand. But God will feed you. You don't have to grow up for God to feed you. You don't have to wait to become a 20-year-old adult. God will feed you. If you're doing what God said to do. But if you're not doing what God said to do, guess what? God said, why should I feed him? He won't do what I tell him to. Look at this last thought. I'm done. So you have souls, you have sustenance. But the greatest thing is this. He says in verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. While by the experiment of this administration, they glorify God for your professed objection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. You know what's exciting about giving to missions? It's the souls. It's the supply. It's the sustenance, but it's the supply. And what I love about this, and this is what messes Americans up. Amen? You take a missionary like this on, you send him to the Philippines, and he goes over there and wins a bunch of Filipinos to the Lord. Now, that's fruit that abounds to your account. Amen? But it supplies his need. But it didn't just supply his need, it'll supply the needs of the Filipinos. And when they get there, and they give the gospel in Amsterdam, and somebody gets saved on the streets of Amsterdam, and it supplies the need. And man, what a need! But notice what he said, that there's much thanksgiving for your professed subjection to the gospel. Amen? So when I supply their need, and they turn around and supply the need of the field that God has called them to, there's a huge thanksgiving party going on. Amen? Now here's the problem with us Americans. They're not going to say, well, thank God for Grace Baptist Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. But they are going to say, thank God for Brother Downey. Thank God for Brother Gray. But you're supplying the need. Amen? There's souls. There's sustenance. There's a supply. And you know what happens when we do that? We fulfill the plan of God. Just started my 22nd year of missions. It's hard to believe. But I've watched God do things I never dreamed He could do. 15, 20 years ago, I met a young man in youth camp. His name was Joshua Smith. Josh Smith was a typical teenage boy. Played football, all that. But that summer, he got saved. Came back to camp the next summer, surrendered his life to the mission field. As he gotten saved, turned his life to the mission field, and started looking around camp, found this little red-headed girl from Franklin, Kentucky. And him and Jennifer got married, went off to Bible college. And I had the privilege 4 weeks ago today to preach at that church in Buenos Aires, Argentina. What a blessing. 16-year-old Argentine boy got saved that day. Fruit that abounds to your account. Souls. Sustenance. The supply. I said, preacher, why would you get up and drive to Rochester, New York tomorrow? To supply the need. Now the question is, are you involved? Are you part of this? Of God's plan?